Did some kind of special
go? Okay. Welcome. It's good to be back. First and foremost, have a karsa tov for Menachem. Again, it's you only know how difficult it is, how challenging it is to give the daf once you have given it, and really to give it for 2 months in the summer in the days when people are not thinking as much about Talmud Torah than now is Elul. So hopefully it'll be easier. But it's really an accomplishment to give so many shiurim. Those are some of the weeks were not so easy. But really, it's a tremendous feat that he did, and we thank him very much for sharing the burden. For it's not a burden; it's a wonderful burden of love. But it's a wonderful to share this the shtender with Menachem. Okay, let's continue learning together. Again, we have some great inyanim coming up in Maseches Yuma in the last couple of weeks. We have all the inyanim of tshuva going to come up in the last parak, inyanim of Chol Hashesh Basakana, of Chilul Shabbos, Chilul Yom Kippurim. So let us continue from where we are up to. Ayin Zayin Amabez, four lines from the bottom, Amar Rebbe Pinchas. So Gemara is finishing up a little piece of Agadata. The Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Pinchas Mishim Rav Huna Tziporah, Ma'ayan Hayotzei Mibeis Kachei HaKadoshim. Something that the Gemara has spoken about a couple of times in this Pesachta, there will be a Ma'ayan, a stream of water that goes out from the Kodesh Kodashim, from the Kodesh Kodashim, B'tchila Dome L'Karnei Chagavim. When it first starts coming out of the Kodesh Kodashim, it's talking about La'asi Lavo. When it first starts coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it'll be a very thin stream, like Karnei HaChagavim, like the thin antennas of a grasshopper. Very, very thin trickle of a stream. Kivich Yigia LePesach Heichal. Once it gets out to the Pesach of the Heichal, Nasek Achuchel Shesi, it'll become a little thicker, a little wider, like the string of the Shesi, one of the strings on the loom. Kivan Yigia LeUlam. Once it comes to the Ulam, which is a little further out from the door of the Heichal, about 11 amas further out, Nasik Chuchal Arev, it comes to the, a little thicker, the Arev and the Shesi, the warp and the woof, that was it's a little, even a little thicker, the Arev than the Shesi. Kivit Shigil, Pesach Azara, once it comes out all the way to the Pesach of the Azara, to the Shar HaNiknar, Nasik Kefi Pach Katan, becomes as wide as a small jug, which is already thinner than any type of string. But it's already getting thicker and thicker, and the stream is getting wider. The Hainu Tetzran, this is what it says in the Mishnah in Midos, or Blazim Yaakov Omer, Mayim Efachin, from the word Pach, Mayim, the size of a Pach, Asidin Lios Yotzin, Mipachas Biftan Abayis, it's going to get thicker and go out, Mikan Ve'elach, and once you get further out from the Azara, so then it gets very, very wide. Until it gets out to the Pesach of the Beis Hamikdash itself, so it gets very wide. Once it comes to the door of the Beis David, of the Beis Hamikdash, it becomes a raging river. Nachal Shoteif, Shebo Rochatzin Zavin V'Zavos Nidos V'Yoldos. So there's so much water there; it's no longer a trickle. It's enough of a stream so that people who have to go to the mikvah can go to the mikvah there. Zavin and Zavos and Nidos and Yoldos, all some of the Mechusri Kapara and Anida. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Bayamahu Yeh Makor Niftach LeBeis David Ul Yoshvi Yerushalayim L'chatas Ulanida. On that day, the Makar, there will be a source of water at the Pesach of Beis David for Chatas Anida, meaning for the mitzvah of Tevilah, of somebody needs to go to the mikvah. The Ian Yaakov I saw in the Ian Yaakov says maybe this whole study of the water is a mashal to the Geula HaAsida. We're talking about the Geula HaAsida here. So he says in Nired the Hakobal Rames Al HaGeula Achrona Shegam HaYeshua Tihiya Maat Maat Achi Yisgaber Kenachal Shoteif. The Geula also is going to come little by little. It's going to start off as a little trickle, then get to a little stream and get larger and larger. As the other Medrash says, the Geula is going to come kima kima, a yelas hashachar, just like the morning comes, a little light and a little light. It's not like the Geula is going to come right away. Little by little, we're going to see little signs, and Bez Hashem, the Gula is going to come quickly. Va'az, and as the end of the daf said yesterday, Malach HaMavis lo yilo koach lavar. Just like yesterday, the Gemara said the Malach HaMavis has no power, has no strength to when the stream gets wide, so too when the Gula is ready in the strong process that it will be in, the Malach HaMavis will not have any koach, v'yikula im bila mavis lanetzach, v'mehir v'yameinu, ends off the Iyun Yaakov. So that is this is a mashal to the Geula Ha'asida. Amar of Yosef, the Gemara just ends off. Mikan, from here, from the fact that this pasuk in Zechariah, when it's talking about the water going out of Beis David, adds the last two words of Lachatas Ulanida. Mikan, remez lenida, shetzricha leshiv at savara b'mayim. It is a remez that when a nida goes to the mikvah, she must sit at savara until her neck, b'mayim, in water. When it says chatas and nida, that it'll be so much water that a chatas and nida could be tova there. Rashi explains in the second wide line that it doesn't say beferish anywhere in the pasuk. It's just a remez that what level depth do you need in order for anida to go to the mikvah? So it's logical. Rashi says amukim amok harui v'zekaroi. This is roi. This is fit enough that when she's sitting, it'll go up to her neck. That is deep enough. But the Gemara ends off, V'les Hilchasa Kavase. We don't pass like Rabbi Yosef. What do you mean we don't pass like Rabbi Yosef? We don't pass that a need has to be that, a mikvah has to be that deep. And we also don't paskin, the Mepharshim pointed out, that a need has to sit down. When she is tovelas, we pass on the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Nida. I'll take the question in a second. Shulchan Aruch passes in Hilchas Nida in Kufzad Ches and Yoni Tvila. Sarach sheyehei hamikva gavoa mima'al tibura zeres lafachos. We pass in that a mikvah minimum has to be a little higher than the belly button zeres lafachos. So mima'al so the lush is latibura zeres lafachos at minimum. And the poskim, I saw the Ravazer and the Shevet Alevi says, Mashmat the Ikr Shlo Lafachos. The Ikr that it can't be less than that. It shouldn't be less than if when the woman is standing, it is up to the belly button. Aval Yoser Efshar, but it could be more. Like all of our mikvos are, most of our mikvos are more, at least in the deep area. Ach be'emes Ein lahosef harbi mishum biyasusa. But Rav Osner adds that maybe it shouldn't be too much more, too much higher than this depth, because then those will be scared if it's so deep. But still, it's the real kpeda is that it shouldn't be less than the tibur. But more than that, it is okay. And he says, you know, how is it possible? He quotes other poskim. If a little more than the tibur is the ultimate, that's the ideal. Should it be less? Or should it be more? Ech efshar lasas mikvah lekulam. They ain't go b'hanashim shaveh. All women are different heights. You have some short, medium, tall. So how do you make the mikvahs? That's what he says. He says that's why mikvahs are wonderful. V'hayom shem mikvahs mesudaros and madrigos chazakos. We have steps. Hopefully they're not too skinny steps. You can stand on those steps, but if they're sturdy steps, a woman feels safe on the steps. So then, efshar liishin amocha shetamar alach zeh madrechos v'go b'hamatim. So again, nowadays, once we have the steps, and they're wide steps, that a woman would feel comfortable on those steps. So then, there are different heights that are available in each of the mikvos. Either way, we don't paskin like Rav Yosef, as the Gemara says. Let's suppose a kavase, though there's a remez here, we don't paskin that it has to be that high, and we don't paskin that she should sit down. She shouldn't sit down. We pass that a woman should go in a little, the Shulchan Aruch also describes it in the previous sif, little bent, a little leaning over, but not sitting. We want the water to get in all the churim in the stakim, want the water to get it to touch every area of the body. So therefore, she does not sit down, she just stands leaning over a little bit. Okay, you had a question? Yeah, of course. Yeah, you need this pasuk is not telling you, is not the source that it needs tefillah b'mikvah. It's just a remez of this added detail of leishiv at savar b'mayim. We know from other makaras that it needs tefillah. That's what Tosfos talks about here. Tosfos here quotes three different sources. Where is the makar for tefillah's needs of b'mikvah da'araisa? Where's the makar? Tosfos quotes from Yav Yehudai, going to Kal Vachomer, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, and quotes from the Ri, three different makaras. The interesting one, just to make one note on, is Rabbeinu Tam's makar, the number two that Tosfos quotes. Rabbeinu Tam pirish de nafka mi dechsiv bimei nida, v'darshinu b'mesech l'zavodas kochavim, in avodah zara, mayim shahanida tovelos bahem. Water that a nida is tovel on them. That makar is the makar for tevilas kelim. Makar for tefilas kelim, the Gemara says that the amount of water that you need tefilas kelim is mem sa'al, l'chadchila, that you have to have that amount of water in the mikveh, the use of tefillas kelim, ma'im shanid tovel b'hem, which is mashma, that obviously step one is that nida is tovel in a mikveh. Some Rabbi Tam seems to be holding, and this is a major machlokas rishonim, that tefillas kelim is a din da'araisa. If he's using that makar for the to teach me the din that nida is tovel in a mikveh da'araisa, it must be that he's holding that the din of tefillas kelim is da'araisa, and that is a machlokas rishonim. Many rishonim we paskin like those rishonim that say the idea of tefillas kelim is midrabana. Right, we know there's two dinim. There's din of Hagalas Kalim and Tevilas Kalim. Hagalas Kalim is when a kli gets treif. I want to get some type of non-kosher taste out of the kli. So therefore, I must kasher the kli. And there are various ways of kashering a kli. In hot water, that's Hagalah. In Libun, in fire. Different ways of kashering a kli. Usually the rule is Kabolo Kach Polto. However, it got treif. That's how I could get out the treif. The treif taste. That is Hagolas Kalim. Tevilas Kalim is something totally different. Tevilas Kalim means if there is a kli that is made by a non-Jew, there is a mitzvah to be mosif kedusha, to start off the existence, the usage of that kli, bekedusha v'tara, to put it in a mikvah, cold water, rain water, mikvah, and in that way to be mosif kedusha to it. That is totally different than Hagolas Kalim. Tevilas Kalim has a bracha, because it's being most of Kedusha. Hagolas Kalim is just Sur Meirah. There is no bracha on Hagolas Kalim. Two very different things. Hagolas Kalim is Daraisa. The Pesukim in Parshas, in the end of Sefer by Midbar, talk about Hagolas Kalim getting out Tarfis from the clay Midyan that Bnei Yisrael got from Midyan. Tevilas Kalim is not so clear whether that's a Mitzvah Daraisa, Din Daraisa, or Din Darabanan. Rabbeinu Tam here seems to be assuming that Tevilas Kalim is a Din Daraisa. But, again, many be shown him, the Rambam seems to say that it's Darabanan. I'll read you the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Machalas Asuros in Perek Yuzayin Halacha Hey. The Rambam says, Tvila zu shematvilin klei hasuda hanilkachim in hagayim. This tvila, we were talking about tvilas kalim, that we dunk our klei suda. Again, tvilas kalim is a huge sugya. Which kalim, which materials, what about certain kalim that don't come to the table? Again, not for now, but that this is what the Rambam is talking about. So any kli that I'm going to be tovel, v'achar kach yutru la'achila v'shasiya, Eino le'inyan tumah v'tara. This has nothing to do with tumah tara. It also has nothing to do with tarfas. Ela mi divrei sofrim. Says the Rambam, divrei sofrim. So again, usually, divrei sofrim in the Rambam means a din d'rabanan. Usually. But again, it's not 100% clear here because he continues. V'remez la, kol davar sheyavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher, umi pi hashmu alamdu, she'eno medaber ela b'tarasan midei gu'le gayim, lo midei tumah. She'en lecha tumah ola adei ha'esh, etc., etc. So the Kesef Mishnah points out that it seems like the Rambam holds this Rabbanan, though other Rishonim say the words Pi Hashmua means Daraisa. Either way, that is a discussion in the Rishonim. Rabbi Yehuda here put it on the list of Rishonim that seem to say that it is a Din Daraisa. Okay, we continue now from the second to last skinny line on Daf Ayin Chesem and Aleph. Says the Gemara, let's read the parentheses for a second. Tenach Yom HaKippurim Deleka Minol Shabbos Ika Minol Mai. The Gemara earlier had been speaking about wearing shoes. We're going to get back to that. The Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara is going to relate it to Shabbos. But earlier it said, on the fourth wide line on the previous Amud, it spoke about going into a river, going into a stream to meet a Rebbe on Yom Kippur, various halachos regarding getting wet on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that would work out for Yom Kippur because you're not wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. But what about on Shabbos? On Shabbos you're wearing shoes. There's no Isser Ne'ilas HaSandal on Shabbos. So are you allowed to go into a stream, a river? Rashi says, are we worried that it's going to fall off? You're going to come to carry the shoe. So that is the chashash. But, as we see, there's a parenthesis around the first half of the sentence here. Usually we don't read the parentheses. Rashi here is the one who takes out the girsa. Rashi changes the girsa because the way the Ritva explains it is that usually you don't have a hatenach or a bishlama unless there's a machlokas. If there's a machlokas, hatenach or bimeir, el or biyosi, Michael Amemri. You have a machlokas and you say hatenach or hanicha according to one shita. But this is an unusual usage of tenach. Yom Kippur and Shabbos, as the Ritva explains, nobody says the lachachil, it's a good idea to go in on Shabbos to the river. So, and that's what you get the impression from a hatenach. You know, what about Shabbos? So that's why the Rashi changes the Girsa. The Ritva, very subservient to the Girsa. The Ritva, obviously, like many Rishonim, doesn't like to change the Girsa unless you find a different Girsa in the sources. It just shows you the shibud that they have to the Mesorah, but he realizes the problem. So he agrees with Rashi's shot of the question, but he says, V'sheila hu she'shol hashas v'kach efshal afarish l'girsas asfarim. You could even stick in this pshat of the question to the Ar Girsa, v'hu lashon zar, even though it's a strange usage of the text, v'harbe yesh b'talmud, lashonos zarim, she'enam kederach seder ha'talmud. You find many times in Shas that certain languages that 98% of the time mean one thing, the other 2% mean something else. But don't change the girsa just for that purpose. But again, Rashi doesn't feel comfortable. Rashi would rather have seder, would rather say it doesn't say it here, and it's not. It is consistent with how it's usually used. Either way, it's an interesting ritva that says that not every place that you see a certain terminology in Shas doesn't mean the same thing, and you could keep it in the Tanakh. But Rashi takes it out. So, continue. Shabbos, Ika, Minomai, last skinny line. So what about going into the wading into the water on Shabbos? Were you wearing shoes? Amr Bechemya Chasvei de Beidesir, Bechemya, the son-in-law of the Nasi, says, Anach Azisa the Rabbi Ami Rav Asi, Tamatu Urkama de Maya, I saw Rav Ami and Rav Asi that came to a pool of water, V'yavru Derech Malbush, and they went in wearing their shoes. So therefore you see, it is Mechor, they weren't, right? We know there's an Isser of, Isser Drabanan, of going, taking a bath or a shower, Bechol Guf on Shabbos. I mean, they were just walking through, there was a puddle, they had to get through, something was flooded out. But they saw that they still wore their shoes. Tanach Minol Sandal Maikal Meimar. That's okay by tight-fitting shoes. What about sandal? What about sandals which are looser? There might be more of a chash for them to fall off. Amar Rav Chume, Anachazisi L'Ravina, Davar Derech Malbush, I saw a note. Rav Chumi says, I saw Rabina that also even wore the sandals. Rav Ashi Amar, sandal l'chadchilo. Rav Ashi though says, okay, b'dieved, but l'chadchilo, you're not supposed to do that because we are worried that they might fall off. A related story, Rav Yesh Galusa, ikla l'hagronya l'beir of Nasan. Rav Yesh Galusa once visited Hagronya. Raf from Bekula Rabbanan, also l'pirka, Ravina l'wasa. All the Rabbanan came to hear the Yesh Galusa's drasha, except Ravina. Ravina didn't come. Lamachar, boy Rafram, La Afuke Luravina Midaiti the Reish Galusa. The next day Rafram, who was the host, wanted to make sure that the Reish Galusa didn't have any ill feelings for Ravina, who didn't come to his drasha. It doesn't say Beferish, but this conversation might have taken place in front of the Reish Galusa. He's trying to give him a defense. He's trying to give him a chance to defend himself. Why didn't he come to the shir? Omer Le, my time lost on Mala Pirka. Why weren't you at the shir? There's nothing else. If you weren't at the shir, you have to have a good excuse. So why weren't you at the shir? So Amale, Havikov Likare. I had pain in my feet. My legs were tired. Iboy Lukala made some Masani, so put on some shoes. Put on some shoes and come to the shir. Find some comfortable shoes, and you should have come. Gaba Takara Havi. No, I had pain on the top side, the upper side of my foot, the Gav, and therefore if I would have wrapped the shoe on it, it would have hurt. So therefore I couldn't have come. So you should have gotten slip-ons. You should have brought slip-on sandals. And that way it doesn't touch the top of your foot, and you could have come then. So Amalei, no. Urka demai havi b'urcha. In order to get to the shir, I would have had to pass through a pool of water, and therefore I was wearing sandals. I couldn't do it. So Rafam continues and says, what do you mean? We just said you're not to wear sandals, but Ikra Hadin. So Amalei, he answers back, no, lo, sawala my lahadab armor of Ashi. Sandal Khadhila law, what do you mean? I know the Lakhadhila. I know that you can't violate the Lakhadhila, the Didrabanan, even to come to a shir. And that's why I stayed home, and therefore please, Mr. Reish Galusa, please excuse my absence. That was his defense for not coming. Period. Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Grogris. Yehuda Bar Grogris says, Osir Leishev Al-Gabi Tina B'yom HaKippurim. An amazing extension of the Isser of one of the Heinuyim. We know one of the Heinuyim is washing, Rechitza, Rechitza B'mayim. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to even sit on wet mud on Yom Kippur in order to cool off. Rashi says about the sixth skinny line, Shelichluch HaTit HaVei Oneg Karov L'Rechitza. Sitting in this wet mud is enjoyment similar to rechitza, karv l'rechitza. Again, this does not mean stam enjoyment, as the Gemara says earlier. The Gemara said earlier on Amud Beis, at the beginning of the parak, there's no issue, there's no inyan of just having stam inui or stam tanug that has nothing to do with these five inuyim, like going to sit in the sun and going out into the shade when it's cold. They already rejected those havaminas. Again, those were amazing havaminas. They rejected that. But this is somehow sitting in the mud, even though you're not washing yourself, you're not getting clean by going into the mud, but Rashi still says, calls it karov l'rechitza. It's a pleasure which has to do with something wet, with liquid, that is karov. That is karov l'rechitza. The language of the Meiri, kol shena'aseh birechitza. anything that's done with a certain type, it's not really washing, but with liquid, lahaker ulehisaneg aser. Lo sof davar rechitza bilvad, ela af yeshiva bibekomos halachim lekavanazu aser. Even sitting in moist places would also be aser included in rechitza. Arab Shuben Levi, Ubatina Metapachas, only in wet, oozing mud. That can't be just a little moist, it has to be really moist. Amar Abayu, Potofeach Amanas Latfiach. It has to be wet enough so that when it gets you wet, when it gets anything wet, that item, that material will be able to get something else wet. That's Tofeach Amanas Latfiach. It's wet enough so that when it gets something else wet, that second thing could get a third thing wet. So that is the Chiddush of Yehuda Ber Grogaris, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This halacha is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda continues, or Rav says, don't extend the din to just cooling off regarding other items. Mutar l'tzani b'peiros. Let's say you want to cool off a little bit on Yom Kippur. You can take some cold fruit and put it against your forehead in order to cool off. That's oneg, but it's not oneg that's karav l'rechitza. And there's no iser of karav oneg non-karav l'rechitza on Yom Kippur. This is, well, you're not eating, you're just using it to cool off. Well, whether it's muksa, it's the issue of whether it's muksa, if you're using it for a tzarech, you know. Sorry, you might come to eat it. Okay, you might come to eat it, so you have to be worried, but here you're using it for something else. Again, it's food that you're allowed to give food to kids, right? So you're not supposed to be osik in food, but you're specifically using it to be able to cool yourself off. Maybe we're not worried because you're using it for a specifically different purpose. You're not just handling it for no reason. So mutal tani bepeiros, maybe it means sitting on the fruit, not even just holding it. It's tani bepeiros. You'll have to just cool off by sitting in a group of fruit. Or review the mitzani bekra. He used to use a melon or a gourd. Rabbi mitzani biyanuka. Rabbi took some kids who were a little cool and cooled off next to them. Rabbi mitzani bekisa the kaspa. Rabbi used to use a silver coat. Sometimes cups are cold. You put it against yourself and you cool off. Amar Rav Papa limits it. Kisa the kaspa malay aser chaser shari. Rav Papa says if you have a full silver cup, it's aser. Why? Why would it be aser? Because what's going to happen? So Rashi's. Well, we'll see in a second. Chol, what's the pashas? The pashas is that it's going to spill over, and you might come to have some on your body. You might come to do some rechitza. Chaser shari. But if it doesn't, it's not full. That's a little bit in the bottom. But if it's not full, then it's mutter. The pachra, but says Rav Papa, if it's pachra, which is a material like cheres, earthenware, where it seeps through even on the outside, so then idi aser. That's also aser. We should do bishchol shachel. It seeps through, and even when you're holding it to cool yourself off from the outside, it's going to be called a rechitza. Rav Ashi Amar Kisa the Kasba Chazanami Aser. But Rav Ashi says, even if a non-full silver cup is also Aser, Mishim de Mizdariv, because it's Mizdariv. What's Mizdariv? It's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rush. Rashi here says Mizdariv is that it's slippery and it might fall out of your hands and then the water is going to spill all over you. So it's a Xera. Sorry? No, Chaser means it's not full. Doesn't mean it's empty, but it's not full. So Mishum de Mizdariv is that it might fall out of your hands and it might spill on you. Again, we're going to relate towards the end of the Davashim today about whether, Shurban Acham mentioned a couple days ago, whether the other Heinuyim, besides Achilu Vichasiya, are those the Araisa also without Karis or are those the Rabbanan? But here, we're going to make a Xera of holding the cup because it might have to spill on you. So Lechora would like to say it's not Xera here. Again, it might be like the Dindra Abundant of Yinuyim, it might be a Xera, it might be a Takana. But either way, if you're making a Xera here, it sounds like it might be a smach to the Shita that says that all of them are Da'oraisa. The Rush says it's not about spilling out. It might slip out of your hands. The Rush just says it might, as you're holding it, something drops might shoot out. Not that it's, you're going to drop it. But it's just that your hand's not totally steady. You might shake a little bit. And therefore, drops might spill out, even if it does not spill out of your hands. L'may nafkamina, reason of Rashi and the Rush, that it's slippery so it's going to spill out. Or you're just holding it, it's not going to be steady. L'may nafkamina, so says the Rambam. The Rambam says this halacha doesn't only apply to silver cups, it applies to any metal. When the Rambam quotes this halacha, he says, in Hilchah Shvi'is Asar, afilu klei matchis asar, shemi yinatsu mayim al basaro. He says, beferish, the reason of the Rush. Because the way any klei matchis cause drops might spill out. Other metals aren't as slippery as silver. But still, he is worried because he holds the shita of the Rosh. The Rabbi Menachem here, the Rambam says that according to Rashi, he might not extend it. Rashi might not extend it to other materials because only silver is slippery. And he's worried about slippery, not worried about what's going to spill out. If you're holding it, okay, so your hand shakes a little bit. That's the machlokas between Rashi and the Rosh. And we're machmir in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, we're machmir like the shita of the Rosh, which says we're not supposed to hold cups of liquid near us of any material because, you know, it might spill out on our hands, on our bodies. Okay. Middle of the Amud. Z'ira bar chamba ush pizchanin d'rav ami v'rav asi v'rishua ben levi l'dekol rabbanit d'kes rihave. Z'ira hosted this whole group of rabbis, including Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So he once said to Rabbi Yosef, the son of one of the rabbis he hosted, Bar Arya, you son of a lion, let me tell you something great that your father used to do. No, I don't know if you know this, but let me tell you something that your father used to do. Mitpachas hayol b'erev Yom Kippurim. He used to have a shmata, a handkerchief, on Erev Yom Kippur. V'shora osa b'mayim. He used to soak it in water on Erev Yom Kippur. V'osa osa k'min kelim negufim. Then he used to wring it out. He used to make it pretty dry, but it was still moist. Ulmachar mekaneach panav yada viraglov. And the next day he used to wipe it. It was still a little moist. It wasn't soaking wet. And the little moisture that was left in there, he used to wipe his face, hands, and feet the next morning on Yom Kippur. Right? On Yom Kippur, even though there's an rechitza, this is not called rechitza. It's just a little moisture left. Like we say in the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see this, so this is related. After you wash your tilas yadayim in the morning, up to your knuckles, and you dry it, so we said, post can say that there's a little moisture left on your hands, so you can rub your eyes with it, get the material that's in your eyes from overnight. So, you know, that is allowed. That's not called rechitza. It's just a little moisture left over, and that's okay. And that's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi used to do. Erev Tishabav, but in Erev Tishabav, this is what he used to do. Shoroso b'mayim, he used to soak it in water, and he did not wring it out. He did not wring it out, but he was more makel on Tishabav, because why did he wring it out in the first place on Yom Kippur, as we're going to see it in a few lines in the Gemara? Because we're worried that if it's so soaked the next day, he might come to do schita. He might come to do schita, which is either the malacha of dash or the malacha of malabain. Rabbi Natam says there's two forms of schita, but either way, you don't want to squeeze out the liquid the next day in order to use it. He knows there's an isser of washing on Yom Kippur, so he's going to get up and he's going to say, oh, I know I'm not allowed to wash, I'm going to wring it out. That's also a malacha daraisa on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos. So that's why on Yom Kippur you wrung it out beforehand. But on Tisha B'Av, there's no Isser of Schita on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, he got it wet. Ulamacha, and then he let it sit. This the Isser of Rechitza on Tisha B'Av. Ulamacha Mavira Gabe Enav. And the next day, he used to put it on his eyes. Again, it was dry enough that it wasn't called a rechitza. Still in Yana of the month, so on the last day of Av today, so we still talk about the Nyani Tisha B'Av. V'chein ki Yasser Av Bar Mari Amar, the Erev Tisha B'Av, Mavien Lo Mitpachas, V'sharos of Amayim, V'mani Chadachs Bar Hashosav. He also, on Erev Yom Kippur, used to get a shmata and soak it in water, put it under his head in order to keep some of the liquid. Olamacha Mekaneach Pan Nevei Adavaraglov, V'Erev Yom Kippurim, he wrung it out. Mavien Lo Mitpachas, V'sharos of Amayim, V'osa Sakim Kalim Neguvim, he used to wring it out. Olamacha Mavir Agabiyenov, it's the same story quoted by two different Amoran. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Tachlifa, Ifcha Martlon, Vosvinach Schita. Rabbi Nashi says, okay, I'm glad that you just told me the story now, because I thought originally, Ifcha, you told me the opposite. You told me that on Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av, you used to ring it out, and not on Erev Yom Kippur. And I asked you, Akasha, how could you do that? Aren't you worried about Schita? So I'm glad that we have the story straight now, and we have that on Erev Yom Kippur. We used to ring it out, and not on Erev Tisha B'Av. Is there any reason for what he was told, Ibcha Maikwan? Like, would you be extra machmer on Tisha B'Av more than you would on Yom Kippur? Is there any reason for that chumrah? So the Tosis Yeshanim here, in the middle of the first column, says maybe the general rule of chumrah divrei sofrim and srikim chizik yoser. Sometimes we want to give more strength to the drabanans, because people don't take them as seriously. So maybe that's why we'd be more machmer on Tisha B'Av than on Yom Kippur, because Tisha B'Av is a chumrah, but it's drabanan. The most chomer drabanan that we have, most chomer fasting that we have. So maybe related to that general item. The Meiri though here has a more specific answer, and that is it's not chomer and kal. It's different. Yom Kippur has no avelus. Yom Kippur is a moed. Yom Kippur is a chag. We have kavod yantif. You have to wear nice clothes on Yom Kippur. You take a shower before Yom Kippur. You get dressed before Yom Kippur. There's kavod. There's no oneg Yom Kippur, but there's kavod Yom Kippur. There's just no achilah v'shasiyah. On Tisha B'Av there's avelus. That's a different type of bria. It's a different type of idea. And therefore, to say that there are different halachas between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is al chamer or kal, is different. So you might say there's different ideas of rechitza when it comes to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So that says the Miri, that was the Havamina. Because Tisha B'Av has an Avelus element. And that's why you might have been a little more machmer there. That's a different element than Inui. Because Inui has the balance of having covered Yantav as well. So that was the Havamina. After the Maskana, we say no, the issue of Schita takes precedent. Okay, so we have the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Meiri. Continuing the Gemara. Amar Rav Nashi bar Tachlifa, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Rachana. Shalos Rav Elazar. They answer Rav Elazar two questions. The first one has nothing to do with us. The second one has to do with wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. So that's why this is brought here. But the first one is a totally separate question. Zakein v'yoshev v'yeshiva. That's code phrase for member of the Sanhedrin. Zakein v'yoshev v'yeshiva. He sits. So somebody who's a Zakein v'yoshev v'yeshiva, member of the Sanhedrin, Sarech lito rishus lahatir b'choros o eno sarech. So we know that usually when it comes to psak, there are halachic issues that one has to deal with. Isser v'heter, dini mamonis, but in the days of the Beis HaMikdash more, this was prevalent, yatir b'choros. There's a halacha that a b'char of an animal, firstborn of an animal, is mamono shel kohen. It belongs to the kohen. And if it is a tamim, if it doesn't have any blemish, then it has to be hukra v'agavim esbeach, even bizman hazeh. That halacha applies even with Manazeh. That's why we try to get out of having Bechoros being born. Before a Bechor is born, sometimes the owner of an animal would have a shutfis with a guy in order to be mafkia the chiyuv of Bechor. Because if this Bechor is Manazeh, then it's a carbon walking around. Right? A Bechor does not need to be hukdash al-gabe by a person. There's an added element for a person to be makdashit. Shmuel, Mesechus Bechor says, Afal pishakodosh miracha mitzvah lahakdisho. There's a mitzvah to be makdash. It adds an element if you're makdash it. But either way, it's kadosh mirachem, even if you don't do anything. That's what we try to get out of the chiyuv. But let's say you have a bechor walking around. So if it's a tamim, it's hukra v'gabei mizbeach. If it gets a permanent blemish, if it gets a mum kavua, so then it's mamono shel kohen. It belongs to the kohen, and he's allowed to do whatever he wants with it. That's the halacha. If it's a tam, it's hukra v'gabei mizbeach. And if it gets a mum kavua, not a mum over, a temporary mum, then you have to wait until the mum gets better, and therefore you have to be makrovit. But if it's a mum kavua, so then the kohen is allowed to do whatever he wants with it, meaning bizman hazeh, it's bin nafkamina. He could eat it because it's a mum kavua. It does not have the status of a carbon anymore. So there's the question is who determines what's a mum kavua and a mum over? You don't just bring it to an animal veterinarian to determine, you know, what's a mum kavua. There's special halachas, what's a mum kavua, what's a mum over, and kohanim study this, and there are special experts in terms of what a mum kavua is, what a mum over is. Not just a kohen, even a talmid chacham. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Hey that Rebbe went for 18 months, for a year and a half, to a farm to study mumin, to know which mumin were kavua and which mumin were. We think 18 months on a farm. He says, right, Torah, he v'lumon anitzarach. Right, he went there to study, to learn what mumin are. So therefore, so the question here that is asked is, that what if you're a member of the Sanhedrin? Do you need special rishus to be matir b'choros? What is this based on? The Rambam quotes in Hilchas Sanhedrin, that when you get smicha, you can get general smicha, but also there's something called smicha l'dvar miyuchadim. So the Rambam in Perak Dalet of Hilchas Sanhedrin, you can give smicha for certain areas of halacha. The Rambam says to be mar eliros k'samim. To see stains of a nida, you can get smicha for that. You get smicha for dini moment, smicha for yaradeya, smicha for laharos, liros, mumin of a bachar. So it says the Rambam, that's what's going on. Rambam in the background, you can say here too. Does this member of the Sanhedrin, does he have automatic rishus of imat bacharos because of who he is? He's a member of the Sanhedrin. Or does he still need rishus from the Nasi in order to be matir bacharos, to say that this mum is a mum kavua or not? That's the question that they asked Rabbi Elazar. So, Maika mi boile, who? So, what's the question about? Asked the Gemara. Hachika mi boile, who? This is what's behind the question. What's behind the question is that really we assume that this member of the Sanhedrin knows the halacha. But the question is, do we want to give kavod to the Nasi to say that, you know what, everybody has to go get rishus from him? Really, they know, they should be able to do it themselves. But do we say that we want to give the kavod to the Nasi, so therefore go ask rishus from the Nasi, or do we say no, the Nasi can give rishus to others, but remember the Sanhedrin does not have to give rishus. That was the question they asked Reb Elazar. Amar Reb Sadok ben Chaluk al Ragla, Reb Sadok got up, Amar, and he said, to answer the question, Ani Reisi as Reb Yossi ben Zimra, Shizakam Yoshi b'Yeshiva Haya, I saw the great Reb Yossi ben Zimra, the Amar b'Mala Mizkino Shalzeh, and I saw him standing on the steps in front of the grandfather of this present Nasi, v'Nato rishus l'Adam b'Charos, and he took rishus. So you see that is what occurred. He did have to ask Rishus. Amalei Rabbi Abba, lokachai maisa. No, Rabbi Abba said, I got the wrong story. It has nothing to do with asking Bechorus. He asked him a different kasha. Elakachai maisa. Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra Kohen hoya. Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra was a Kohen, and he asked Rabbi Elazar the following question. Not whether you need Rishus or Nati Mata Bechorus, but a specific halachic question within the sugya of Bechorus. Bahachi kami boile. As we just explained, if an animal gets a mum kavua, so then it's edible, it's able to be eaten by the kohen. So kohanim would want mumim kavua to come upon this animal. So a regular kohen was not ne'eman to say that his own animal got a mum kavua. Because Rechoshes that he put it there. Rechoshes that he blemished the animal in order to eat the animal. The question is one kohen believed about so-and-so's animal? A different Kohen. Is one Kohen believed about another Kohen? Are we choshed that he's going to lie in that case or not? So that's a machlokas. And the question that this Rabbi Yossi asked was who the halacha is like in this machlokas. Halacha like Rabbi Meir to Amr, the halacha like Rabbi Meir who says, Hachashud b'davar lo donav lo me'ido, the halacha like Rabbi Meir who says that if you're chashud, then, meaning, and Kohanim are chashudim in this area, they are not believed to testify about anything, even their friend's animal. Odilma halacha like Rabbi Gamliel, or do we say the halacha is like Rashbag, to Amr ne'amanu al shalchaveiro, v'ina ne'aman al shalatzmo. He's only not believed on his own animal and not on his friend's animal. And he is on his friend's animal. And Rabbi Lazar answered the earlier previous Nasi answered the halachas like Rishon Megamliel. But that was the question. So the question was not about whether you need Rishus for Mati Bechoris. That was all issue number one that they asked Rabbi Lazar. Issue number two they asked Rabbi Lazar is related to us. The Sukkah mi boi lehu ma'ulatis bestandel shol sha'am b'yom ha-kippur. Are you allowed to wear reed shoes, non-leather shoes on Yom Kippur? That was the question that they asked Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeini, Aragla, V'Amar, Ani Reisi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Again, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he was one of the early Amoraim, the Gedolim, that they always quote what he did. I saw Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shiyasim, Sandal Shosham, B'Yom Kippur. Yes, he went out with a Sandal Shosham. Right, Rashi says, Guma, type of reed shoe. Meaning it's not leather shoes. The Gemara here is discussing what are the limits and rules of the Isra of Ne'ilah sandals. Just leather shoes? Or is it all shoes? Right? Are we wear non-leather shoes? So this is the Gemara that talks about it. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, says the Gemara, I saw Rabbi Shimon ben Levi that wore them. V'yamina le b'tainas sibur mai. And I asked him, fine on Yom Kippur, what about on a tainas sibur? We're not talking about on our ta'anios sibur, for the churban. Rashi explains, talks about Mesechus tainas, that they used to do fast for when it doesn't rain. So there were certain halachas of a tainas sibur that were kicked in. By the later ta'anios, they had all the inuyim. All the inuyim that we have on Yom Kippur, they had on the ta'anios sibur. We don't say that we have to do that on all the other ta'anios, on our ta'anios, except for Yom Kippur. There is a Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, his sefer on Inyani Avelos, Inyani Tainas, where the Ramban says, there's a lechachila of all the hei inuyim on all the ta'anios. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes as Inuchas Tainas and says, Baal Nefesh Yachmir. Right, unknown Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rabban and Taras Adam, Baal Nefesh Yachmir for the other Taniyos. So generally, you know, the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes this, other poskim say that we shouldn't be Min HaMatmiyim. You know, people are going to see us wearing non-leather shoes on Tzom Gedalia, and they're going to, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that, because that's something that is going to be Matama the Brios. But again, this is, we should know that this Ramban. But anyway, so this is, here though, we're talking about other fast days. Fast days have to do with rain, so Amar Lei Lo Shna, yeah, there's no difference between Yom Kippur and the other fast days for rain. Amar Abba Bachana, Ani Reisi, Yisrael Belazar, Dibin Ninveh, Belazar from Ninveh, Shiyasa B'Sanlo Shosham, B'Tainet Sibur. The other way, I saw him go out on a Tainet Sibur, I mean, it'll be Yom Kippur or Mai, yes, and what about Yom Kippur? Amar Lei Lo Shna, I also told him it makes no difference whether it's Yom Kippur or a Tainus Sibur, the public Tainus Sibur that they used to have in the olden days. Let's continue, and then we'll talk about the Maskana afterwards. Review the Nafik but the Hitni. Review the also went out with a non-leather shoe. The Hitni is some type of, also another type of reed. Abai Nafik but the Hutsi, a type of grass shoe. Rava Nafik Bidikule, a palm tree shoe. Rabbi Rachana, Rabbi Rahuna, Korach Sudra Akari Benafik. He just wrapped a towel, wrapped a sudar, a handkerchief around his foot, and he went out. So we see all these Amoraim seem to say that if it's not leather and if it's not a real shoe, so then it is mutter to wear in Yom Kippur. So asked on that, Matzav Rami Brachama. Rami Brachama says, but we have a Mishnah in Shabbos. Mishnah in Shabbos that we had a couple years ago, last year. Haktia Yotzei Abakav Shalo, Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Oser. If somebody has an artificial foot, somebody has a wooden foot, so is he allowed to walk out in a place without an Eruv on Shabbos? So look over, this is different than our amputees and our artificial feet, because they're totally connected. They don't come off. They become part of the person, right? There's no way there's a chashash is going to come off. But maybe in those days, you know, it wasn't as connected, and something it could come off, and it was removable. So says Rabbi Meir, Kiteh, he's allowed to go out with Kapshalo on Shabbos. It's considered his foot. It's considered his shoe, more precise. And therefore, it's not considered a burden, a masui, on Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to go out with it. And Rabbi Yossi answers. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it is not considered his shoe on Shabbos. It's considered extra, and therefore he's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. V'tani Allah, and we had a brisa related to that Mishnah, which added, v'shavin sh'asa latzeis bo miyom kippurim. Even Rabbi Meir would agree. Everybody would agree that it's also to wear these on Yom Kippur. In other words, as Rashi here explains the Gemara, even something that's not called a minol, right, Rashi says, Alma, even according to Rabbi Yossi, that it's not called a minnow, and it's usur to wear it out on Shabbos, because it's called a masui, he would say it's usur on Yom Kippur. Which means that the Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur includes more than just items that are called shoes. Because you see, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not called a shoe for Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to wear it outside, and it's still usur on Yom Kippur. So you see that it should be, all those other shoes that we just listed should also be usur on Yom Kippur. Even though they're not called shoes, this reed shoe and this grass shoe, it still should be usur on Yom Kippur, included in the Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal. So Amar Abaya, no. Hasan this like kitutin umishim tanug. The only reason you can't wear that on Yom Kippur is because it has, in the place where you put the stump of your foot, it has a place to put a towel or a pillow in order to make it comfortable, and it's that's why it's also on Yom Kippur. Nothing to do with shoes, but you're having tanug. You're having enjoyment on Yom Kippur, which the Gemara is about to ask on this in a minute. What's wrong with that? But that's the potential answer of Abaya. Amale Rava. The Gemara has three different problems now on Abaya's potential answer. Amale Rava Vilav Manahu Ketita Mashvile Mana. 1 second. If it's not a shoe, how does putting a pillow or a towel in there make it a shoe? If it's not a shoe, it's not a shoe. That shouldn't change its status. The ode called Tanu Dlav Minahu Biyamakibur Mi Aser. What, you're not allowed to get any tanug on Yom Kippur? We just said. Yom Kippur, you have a certain number of inuyim, we mentioned earlier, and the rest, there's no isser of taking, yeah, you're taking a walk during the break on Yom Kippur. What, it's usser if it's a nice day outside to take a walk? No, tanug is an usser. Certain tanugim are usser on Yom Kippur. But other tanugim, you know, we don't add on. So what's wrong? Why should it be usser mishum? You know, it's going to be a little comfortable for the man. Right after all, what did we just see before? That he wrapped a towel on his foot and went out. Va'od, and the final question, the seifa of that Mishnah says that if you put in a cushion, so then it gives the shoe the status of a shoe and it makes it makabel tumah. So must be the ratio of the Mishnah, which we're talking about, is not about that case. And it must be nothing to do with putting in a cushion. So again, we're back to the kasha of the Gemara. Abai tried to get it out of it. But we're back to the kasha of the Gemara, which was that you see from the Mishnah and the Brisa related to that Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos, that Rabbi Yossi, who says that something that's not called a shoe on Shabbos is still usher to wear on Yom Kippur. So therefore we say that the other shoes that were mentioned earlier, the reed shoes, should also be usher, even though they're not called shoes. Abaya tried to get out of it, but we just rejected Abaya. So we have a different shot. So Ella Amarava, Ella always means a new answer. So Ella Amarava, La Olam Dekuliyama Minohu. Really, it's a minol. It's a minol for Yom Kippur and for Shabbos, and that's why it's usher on Yom Kippur. But the other shoes that we mentioned, they're not called a minol. That's why they're not usher. Aye, so why are these usher? Why is this one? Why does Rabbi Yossi usher it on Shabbos? For a specific reason. Ubishabbos b'ha pligi. Mar sover gazrina dibel mishtamid v'asi lasui dal ramu. So mar sover lo gazrinan. The only issue is whether we're worried whether it's going to fall off on Shabbos and you're going to come carry dal ramus. That's why. It is a minol and it's still usher on Shabbos. But shoes that are not called minol, so those aren't in the Isra of the Ilas Asand on Yom Kippur, and that's why it is mutter. So halacha l'maisa, what comes out of this? It's hard to know what the maskana is here. So we spoke about certain shoes are okay, certain not okay, so what do you say? So the Rani here quotes the three-way machlokas rishonim. There was a three-way machlokas rishonim between Rashi, the Rif, and the Baal Hamor. The Rif says, and this is what we paskin, the Rif says, non-leather shoes are not called shoes, and therefore they are mutter on Yom Kippur. Non-leather shoes. The Rashi, the way Rashi is the Gemara, you look at Rashi carefully, he seems to include wooden shoes as well. Wooden shoes are also aser. We don't have that bisman hazet. It doesn't make so much of a difference. What? Clogs, right? Clogs, or it could be the old-fashioned clogs, not the new ones. but that's wooden. The Baal Hamar is the most machmir. The Baal Hamar says no. Baal Hamar says anything that protects you is aser. Alma komidi de megin aser. Right, not just leather. That's how he reads the Maskana differently. He questioned, how do you understand Rava's answer? If you look at the Ran, he explains it. But that is the three machlokas. We paskin just leather shoes are what is usa. We'll just end with a Ran, and then we'll continue from here, because tomorrow's Amud Aleph is short. We could I want to spend more time on the rest of Amud Beis here. One more question of the Ran. The Ran here says, it's the following Tasha. He says, fine, these are not called minals. These are not called minnows. These reed shoes or whatever other shoes they are, they're not called shoes, and therefore they're mutter to wear on Ne'ilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur. But one second. We paskin that Yom Kippur has the same Isser Hotza'ah as Shabbos does. So if they're not called shoes, then they're called a masui. There's nothing in between. If they're called shoes, it's a masui. So forget the Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal. It should be usher to walk out with these shoes on Yom Kippur in a place without an Eruv. Right, so how can you forget the Isra of Ne'ilas HaSandal? What about the Isra of Hotzah on Yom Kippur and on Shabbos? So he says, you know what? The Ramban rereads the Gemara. When the Ramban reads all these Gemaras that says you're allowed to wear it, it means in the house. It doesn't mean outside the house. But he said, it's very dachlik to say that, says the Ran, even though it's his great grand Rebbe who says it, the Ramban. But he says you have to give a different answer. So says the Ran, an unbelievable Kiddush. He says, once there's an Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur, and therefore there's nothing else to wear on Yom Kippur, these automatically get the status of shoes. And therefore they're not called a masui. Says the Ran, Ludilo Kasha, Tchi Amrina Demidi Dilav Mino Havi Masui Vasar Latseispo. When do you say that if something is not called a shoe, it's called a burden? Hani Mili Bishabis. Tekimun de Mino Mutterbo, call me Dilavi the Mino Havale Masui, Vasar Latseispo. Avo B'yom HaKippurim, since regular shoes are usur, and the normal thing for people to wear are these things, which are not called shoes, they're not called a burden on Shabbos, and they get the status of shoes for walking, even though they don't have the status for shoes for the Isra of Ne'ilas HaSandal. Says the Minchas Chinuch, based on this Ran, you know what you would say? If you wear regular leather shoes on Yom Kippur, outside, in a place without an Erev, you're not only chayef for the Isra of Ne'ilas HaSandal, you're chayef for the Isra of Masui, without an Eruv on Yom Kippur. Are you wearing shoes? What do you mean you're wearing shoes? No! Shoes lose their status of shoes on Yom Kippur, and non-shoes get the status of shoes on Yom Kippur regarding the Isser of Hotzah on Yom Kippur. So there's a difference, amazing, a difference in halacha in terms of definitions, in terms of the Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur itself, and the definition of Mino when it comes to Shabbos and when it comes to Yom Kippur. Okay, maybe we'll, sorry? I don't know if it's halacha l'maisa, but we shouldn't be wearing shoes. Leather shoes on Yom Kippur either. His question is how many chatos, how many malchus you'd be chayit. Okay, we'll stop here. Maybe we'll talk a little more about this Ran later. Agun Chodesh, and Baruch Hashem, it's great to be back learning with everybody. And we should continue tomorrow at 6:10. 6:10 tomorrow morning. The sponsors today are Aaron and Mina Friedman, Moshe Yechezkel ben Yoshua, and Akiva Nehuva Silver, Handel Bas Menachem, and Fega Chaya Bas... Ahuva? Akiva.